when you are full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. Amen. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's
right. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm most serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them. Because now they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And so that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace, you got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that kind. See, all that, none of that's bad. All that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay. Because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFS. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it.
We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Just a few moments.
moments this morning, I just want to poll the house. Do you know the story? I said, do you know the story? Well, if you know the story, come on, put your hands together and give him praise, or just give him a shout of glory if you know the story. For just a moment, Matthew 26 and 8 says, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about hope in a resurrected Savior. Hope in a resurrected Savior. When we look at this word, brothers and sisters, Jesus has already risen from the dead and has exited the tomb. Those who came to seek him came looking for the Savior in the grave. The stone was rolled away. The dead man's clothes were folded neatly. The napkin where his head lay was folded neatly. And the presence of Jesus was not there. Those who came to seek Jesus received a report from the angel which said, he is not here. What does here represent? The tomb, the grave, death. It represented all that is dark and deadly, motionless, lifeless, hopelessness. And that is the place they looked for Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verses 5, 6, and 7. The angel has a message for the women that goes in a little more detail. He questions them by asking, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand. Luke chapter 1 verse 7, 8 talks about God in his great mercy causing us to be visited by the day spring. Now that doesn't mean much, but when you look at the Son of God and the reason why he got up early that Sunday morning was because he was the day spring. He had to beat the S-U-N, son, because he was the day spring. In other words, he was the light of all lights. And he had to show Satan and the world and all who were witnesses that dark, damp grave or tomb could not hold him, and the light of light had already sprung while it was yet dark. He is not here, for he is risen. Listen at this. As he said. Now, as he said might not seem like much to you, but give me a moment to help you here. as he said, brings us to the understanding that Jesus in the gospel said over four times that I am going to die, but it's not the end. I'm going to rise 3 days from now. And the record is Jesus Christ is the only man who said he was going to die and when he was going to get up. As he said, Jesus gave us the understanding of knowing before the incident occurred what would happen after the incident occurred. He's the only one who had the ability to not only know the prophet, speak the prophecy, but then get up as he prophesied he would. Now, as he said, here is the thing. If he said this and did this, what else has he said and cannot do? That went right over somebody's head. Here is my point. R.W. Shambaugh put it like this. If your problem is not greater than the resurrection, you don't have no problem. I'm trying to help somebody to understand if Jesus could die and say, I'm going to get up 3 days later and does, what else has he said that you can't believe? He's proven the impossible. He's done the impossible. And so whatever he says to us, we ought to know that he can back it up. What does this verse represent? More than anything else, it represents hope in the resurrected Savior. Hope, hope, hope. The ability to believe in something before it happens and know with concrete assurance that it's going to happen as the one who said it said. In other words, I'm trying to help us to understand, if the Lord said it, that ought to settle it because we believe it. There's nothing harder to be done than that's already been done, and that has already been done ought to be the confirmation of anything else Jesus can do. Easter Resurrection Sunday morning ought to be more than about the history of that great day. Resurrection day for the believer ought to mean that because he lives, we, every one of us, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're going through, ought to be able to live with the victorious assurance that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Can I tell you, if Jesus is on your side, then the enemy needs to watch out. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall have whatsoever you say. Why? Because he never promises anything he cannot perform. What has the Lord promised you in his word? Because I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you got to stand on his word. You've got to be able to say, Jesus, you said. I ain't talking about what they said and what I heard. I need to know that Jesus said it, because anything Jesus said, he's able and willing to back up. And when we add our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished works on the cross, and knowing that this day represents his ability to perform to the greatest degree everything he promised, it ought to always be shouting time, no matter what we're going through. David believed in the Lord, and he was getting ready to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and he shouted, yay! Why did he shout yay before he went in? Because he knew the Lord was with him. And because he knew the Lord was with him when he was going in, he knew the Lord was going to be with him on his way coming out. That's confidence in God. How much more confidence should we have in Jesus Christ? Listen at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, what was Peter talking about? And who knew better than Peter about the confidence that he now has in Jesus Christ and his finished works at Calvary? Peter is saying this, that we ought to bless God like never before, because he is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, let me let John help you first before I finish. John 3:16 said it this way: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Father sent Jesus to bring us into a right relationship with him. If it wasn't for God sending his Son, none of us would be in a right state or relationship with God. And listen at this. It is because Jesus died and rose, we have new life. That word begotten again means born again, to live again. Now notice here, it says to a lively hope. I want to take a moment and explain that. Lively hope means a living hope. It doesn't mean just a hope. It means a vibrant and a bright and an exciting hope. It literally means to have life attached to the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. In other words, there ought not be a believer who's been saved, blood bought and blood washed by Jesus Christ, whose hope is not lively no matter what they're going through, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what the enemy has shown them, and no matter where their life is. Their hope should always be in Christ Jesus, knowing that he is the answer to our every question. Listen at this, and I'm bringing it to a close. It's important to recognize that Peter is making clear to the believer, if it hadn't been for Resurrection Day. Listen, everything that happened on the cross would not have been finished. The works on the cross were always pointing to the resurrection. The resurrection meant that when Jesus got up, he confirmed, he sealed the deal, and everything that he had said, everything that he had promised, everything that he yet promises us is made good by that getting up on that Sunday morning. And so that's our assurance. And we ought to have a lively hope, a living hope. I don't care what it feels like you're going through. I don't care what the devil is showing you. I don't care how long you've been in the storm. When your hope is in the one who can say, peace, be still, you need to know you're coming out of that thing. I don't care what the enemy has placed in your path. The hope that Jesus Christ calls us victors and overcomers. Revelation 2:7 says, let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. To him that overcometh, to her that overcometh, to us that overcometh, will I allow to eat from the fruit of tree of life found in the midst of the paradise of God. My brothers and my sisters, the only reason why most folk don't get it is because they have missed the reality of what Jesus is still doing. You know, we shout temporarily on Easter Sunday morning about he got up. But I got news for you. He didn't get up just to get up. He got up so that he could make clear that the way that he's prepared for us is a way that leads to the Father for eternity, that our hope in him means that we live forever, that what he has done for us, he is making way at the right hand of the Father, that every promise come to pass, that he's given us power and authority to walk in this earth realm and to be rulers and dominions, have dominion over everything that he did. He promised us greater works than these shall we do. Because he goes back to the Father and he's now there sitting on his right hand. And that's why the devil can't do what he wants to do to us. He can mess with you. But when it's all said and done, you're going to make sure that you come out of that thing the victor. You've got to go through some stuff. Don't get it wrong now. Don't get it twisted now. You're going to have to go through. But the operative word is through. Yeah. And so as we look at this, the hope is now that I live in the faith of the Son of God. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I will be what he says I will be. I will have what he says I will have because I am in him and he is in me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Resurrection Sunday morning means more than he got up. It means he has risen in us. And if Satan thought he had a problem with Jesus, what he don't realize is in every believer is a little Jesus. And what Jesus did on Calvary and then did when he got up that early Sunday morning, he gave us a little bit of him in every one of us. And so we can do what he did multiplied. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. That's why when you call the name Jesus, demons tremble. Because, man, they say, well, Lord, they don't know when he's going to end it for them. And we have that power and authority, and the devil can't do no more than Jesus permits him to do. That's why we ought to walk with confidence. We ought to walk in authority. We ought to speak those things that be not as though they were, because Jesus is sitting in heaven making sure that his word is performed. And when we speak it by faith, we shall receive it by faith, and we are the victors in Christ Jesus. There was a man who had been blessed to preach the gospel. And the Lord picked him up when he was nothing and broken and called him from a world of sin and from degradation and made him a powerful preacher. And God blessed his ministry so much so that men came from everywhere to hear him minister the word of God. But one night when he was sleeping, the Spirit of the living God told him to go back to where he came from and tell lost men and women who had been kicked to the curb, who were living yet on Skid Row, who were broken and busted, and life had done some horrible things to, and whose bad decisions and bad choices had left them in a horrible way. And they were the rejects and the outcasts of society. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you got a whole lot of folk in your church that hear the word every Sunday, but you pass up Skid Row to get to your church. He said, I want you one Sunday morning to go to Skid Row. Now, take off your custom-made suits and your alligator shoes. Dress down like the common men that you're going to speak to. And let them know that what the Lord did for you, he could do for them. And so convicted by what the Spirit had to say, the next Sunday morning, he dressed down. He got in his car. He got his Bible and a big thermal bottle of hot coffee. And he started walking down Skid Row, preaching, thus said the Lord. And as he walked down Skid Row, he happened to see one of his old college buddies who had gotten on Skid Row, which he never knew would have happened, because that buddy was voted in college the most likely to succeed. He had good looks. He was the captain of the football team. He came from a well-off family. He got a job after an internship and later began to walk up the corporate ladder. And when he saw that old buddy, he stopped by him and kneeled down and asked his old friend, do you remember me? And the man looked up at him with eyes so dim, hair all scraggly, beard all nasty, clothes all tattered, smelling like urine. And he looked up at him and said, no, I don't believe I know who you are. And he reminded him that they'd gone to college together. And he said, man, what happened to you? And the man said, my throat is dry. So he went in his thermos, got a cup of coffee, poured it out, and gave to the man. And as the man drank the coffee and regathered himself a little, he said, let me tell you what happened to me. He said, I was doing well in life. He said, but the pressure started mounting and I started drinking. And the drinks were not strong enough. And so I started using a little drugs. And the drugs began to take over my mind. I then got into an adulterous relationship. And before I knew it, I lost my job. I lost my wife. I lost my family. I lost my home. And I lost myself. He said, and here I am on Skid Row. And nobody will give me anything. He said, I prayed if there was a God, that if you didn't do something,